Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Christopher Robbins, the co-founder of Familius Publishing, husband, father of nine, author, fly fisherman, and backpacker based in the Central Valley of California. We hope to bring you nourishing, real-life information about love, family, relationships, and life. Now, I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Laura Carter. Now, Laura is a native of Oxford, Alabama. After earning a Bachelor of History in 2008 and a Master of Education in 2009 from the University of Montevideo, she and her husband moved to Huntsville, where they both began their careers as teachers. She has taught history at the high school level since 2013 and is also certified to teach English language arts. The Elect and Restoration were her first published books, and they were released from a small press beginning in 2013. Since then, she has expanded her writing into all realms of kid lit, with a particular fondness for writing picture books that her son would enjoy. Laura's adult life has been and continues to be dedicated to working with youth and encourage them to love stories, history, and learning. Today, we're talking about influential women who have influenced science, technology, engineering, and math, and even art. This podcast aligns with the Familius habits: learn together, talk together, and read together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on familius.com. Welcome, Heidi. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is always fun to talk with someone who is focused on kid lit and has a new picture book coming out. So you have a book called A Feminist Force, A Celebration of Women in STEM, that you wrote, and it was illustrated by Anna Doherty, and is coming out spring 2024. That's really pretty exciting. Now, tell us, how did you get this idea about wanting to explore women in STEM?
I heard the term STEMinist, I think, back in 2016, 2017, and it really struck me as sort of a fascinating blend of feminists and STEM, obviously. And I teach at a STEM magnet high school in Huntsville, Alabama, which is, you know, Rocket City for the United States. And so we're surrounded, I am every day, by the push for incorporating science, technology, engineering, and math into my curriculum. And I see it everywhere I go. For me, the inspiration for delving into the women in STEM, of course, obviously, one, I'm a woman, but also I teach 50% of my students are girls, and I want them to feel encouraged at school level to continue, because a lot of girls lose their enthusiasm for STEM by about middle school. And so for us to have 50% of our students pushing into our strands of computer science and biotechnology and engineering, it's really exciting. And I want to encourage them that they're not the first ones doing this, but they can continue to pioneer off of the work that has been done by women before them.
That's really wonderful. Now, let's just make sure our audience knows what STEM is. STEM is an acronym that stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, right? And
correct.
And it's now moved into STEAM, which now includes art, right?
Yes.
Basically making sure that we're exposing our students to all these wonderful disciplines that can help them grow their own life as well as contribute to society. Now, I was looking at your book, and I was fascinated by all the different categories. I wanted just to share that with the audience. So you have explored and included in this book mathematicians, programmers and coders, astronauts, physicists, conversationists, therapists, physicians, farmers, teachers, writers, marine biologists, geologists, engineers, meteorologists, architects, and archaeologists. Well, that's a pretty expansive group of disciplines, isn't it?
It is. I think we tend to think of STEM as limited to, you know, physicians or limited to engineers, but there's this whole realm of science that we don't think about too much every day. The people who study the Earth itself are biologists, and I wanted to mention that STEM is not just sitting at a computer desk or going out and as a marine biologist, there's so much you can do with STEM, and I wanted to share that with families.
Now, let's kind of explore some of these important women. So some of them might be familiar to people and others not. So for example, I know about Dorothy Vaughan. And the reason I know about Dorothy Vaughan is from the film and book Hidden Figures, right? She was, she was an African-American woman who was NASA's, quote, human calculator. If I remember in the film, John Glenn refuses to go to do what's supposed to happen until she confirms the numbers, right?
Right.
That's a great story. So who are some of the women that you found particularly surprising or inspiring as you began researching this book?
When I started researching, of course, I wanted to figure out, well, what does our current workforce look like as far as what is our percentage of women who are actually in the professional STEM fields? And it's about 34% professionals inside of STEM fields are women. And I found that surprising. And one of the first areas I looked at, obviously being in Huntsville, Rocket City, were the astronauts. And I was honestly surprised to learn that we have globally, there have been 73 female astronauts. And we really only hear about Sally Ride or Mae Jemison, but there are a lot of other female astronauts that have gone into space. I think, of course, Mae Jemison, obviously for Huntsville, is probably the most famous. We actually have a high school named for her here. Chiaki Mukai was the first Japanese woman into space. Kalpana Chawla, of course, who passed away on the Columbia disaster, she went up into space as the first Indian American woman, Asian American woman to go into space. And I think it would be nice if we heard their names a little bit more than we do, maybe.
So I had a conversation with Kathy McMillan and Manuela Bernardi about the books they published with Familius, one called She Spoke, another one called She Spoke Too, which covers women who have changed the world. And what they said was profound. They said, these are books that you can read about them, their biography, and then you push a button and you can hear about 20 seconds to 30 seconds of a speech they give in the English language. And they said, we want both boys and girls to be able to as easily recognize their voice as they do the voice of Martin Luther King Jr. Well, that's really profound. So you have contributed by providing all these different people. Now, you just covered some astronauts. Now, here's someone I thought was interesting, is Mary Shelley. I love Frankenstein. I love that book. And what's interesting there is she was the first science fiction novelist.
Right. So far ahead of her time with her writing. We tend to think of that, especially even now, as a male-dominated field. And to think that a woman had such a major role starting up the genre is, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah. And another one I liked was Gertrude Bell. Now, she was an archaeologist that worked, if I remember, it was really during the British occupation of the Middle East. And if I remember the story, she really was the one trusted by the Bedouins and helped facilitate a number of, agreements.
Right. Going into really protected areas, looking at some of the archaeology from ancient times. I think it's amazing that she was allowed to do that.
Really was. Now, you're a teacher. So what about women in education that you found particularly inspiring?
Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of women in education is Maria Montessori, the Montessori schools, right? Going into the student-led approach of learning where they sort of follow their own interests. Public school, I do that as much as I can within my classroom, but obviously we have at the high school level, definitely a pretty straightforward curriculum that we have to follow. But women have, for all of history, been teachers. I mean, they've taught their children and they've moved into public schools, especially in the 20th century. And that's actually one of the biggest majors is for women. When they go to college, many of them end up in education. I have a lot of friends who have kids in Montessori schools. I have a lot of friends who homeschool their children, and a lot of friends like myself who have kids in public school. And I think across the board, women have a very heavy involvement in that, which speaks to the quiet part of STEM. I think STEM is often thought of as being really loud and really exciting, but STEM is practiced every day in everything that we do. And we don't even think about it, but I mean, it just happens all around us.
It does. And we can even have I like what you talked about at the beginning, that you can have a holistic education where the STEM-related fields are all involved in one's education. Now, I guess the question is as you researched all these different fields in STEM, and it's not exhaustive, right? There's so many different opportunities.
Right.
Is there an area that you felt that is underrepresented by women? Now, we already know from what you said at the beginning that our STEM-related fields, that we're already underrepresented by women. It's more dominated by men. Hopefully that's changing to be a more equitable workforce and contribution. But is there a particular discipline it's much more underrepresented?
I think statistically, honestly, it's computer science. The field of computer science studies, really only about 20-25% of computer science majors are girls at this point, or young women. And I think that is changing, obviously. More startup companies are being founded by women. More women are getting involved in companies like Google and Amazon and all these different tech companies. And so we're starting to see that change. My dad, honestly, he writes software for a living. And when I was in high school, he said, "You need to go to school for computer science." And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And now I think, man, I should have gone to school for computer science. I could be doing some really cool stuff right now, because I see what my students are doing, and that just, it blows my mind what they do in their programming classes.
And again, it's a language. They're learning
to
communicate a new language. It's such an amazing thing. Now, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, and if you can answer this question, but I wonder, were there some people that you really hoped to include, but just with the space limited it and you were not able to include everybody you wanted to?
We did have some women who were left out. Harriet Tubman, she was a nurse. Not a lot of people know about her and the nursing that she did during this
Grandma
and after
Moses.
This war. And, oh, her name is escaping me. Students just learned about her, the founder of the American Red Cross. I can't think of her name right now, but it just fell out of my head. But obviously a lot of, you know, Florence Nightingale and a lot of these other really notable women who have, essentially what we wanted to do is we didn't want to just talk about only American women. We wanted to highlight women from around the world, because it's not just American women or British women who are leading the way. It's taking place globally. And so some American women did get left out, but there were a lot of women who were included that I was very excited about.
It's a very significant list of people. And so, again, so many that I have never even heard about. And so it's going to expand my own educational horizons. Now, you've studied all these women and you included them. Was there, you've already talked about Mae Jemison in your own area, but is there one or two that you just hold to high esteem and really would love to emulate or have your students emulate? And if so, why?
The first name that comes to mind, honestly, is Phyllis Wheatley. I included her, obviously, on the list of writers. She was the first published African-American woman in the American colonies and a huge supporter of George Washington. He actually wrote back and forth with her. She's only the third published woman in the American colonies. And she was just a trailblazer. She learned languages, multiple languages. She traveled. I think she was very much a remarkable woman. Another name that comes to mind, Rachel Carson, her book Silent Spring. I included her in the writers, but of course she would cross over to the conservationists as well with her book Silent Spring. It started the environmental movement that introduced people to the awareness, the use of pesticides and the damage that could be done long-term to the environment, to the animals, and even to humans and the food that we consume. I teach about both of those women in my American history classes because I think that that's important for our students to know that they existed and to hopefully be inspired by their actions and what they did during their lives.
That's wonderful. As we can all learn about them and others. Now, you said you hope that your students will be inspired. So you've written this book. I'm sure there's many hopes that you have. But what is your main hope as people explore these women? What would you like to see out of the youth today as they learn about these pioneers in these STEM fields, particularly the women that we know so little about, but who have contributed in such a huge way?
They have contributed in a major way. And again, it's been in a very quiet way. It's not been boisterous or showy. I think the big takeaway that I want families and kids is that it's doable. Like it's the world is open to children to go into these fields, to dive in, to learn about what has been done before them and to hopefully continue to grow on that, to snowball that learning into bigger and better things, and to tie that in with the humanities, to tie it in with art, obviously. These things don't exist in isolation. I mean, our whole world is sculpted, and none of the geology is not separate from physics, is not separate from even computers. It all coexists at the same time. And I really want kids and to not be afraid.
So what I'd like to ask as a final question is, again, you've shared with us what your hopes, your objectives are. What you have an opportunity to talk directly to some young women maybe listening. What would you like to tell them?
I would like to tell them that it's possible and that the only person standing in your way between you and the world of STEM and STEAM, doing the things that you want to do, is you. Hopefully, by reading the book, by talking about these things with your teacher, with your parent, or with your friends, you'll be inspired to realize that these women are not that different from me or from you, that they had a mission. They went to school. Some of them didn't even go to school. Some of them didn't even have formal training or education, and yet they still did amazing things. So find an area that you think is really interesting, whether it's biology, whether it's computer science or engineering, and practice activities in it. You know, build bridges out of things around your house, play with Legos, join computer programming teams like First Lego League, or look into robotics, find something that interests you, even just going outside. You may find something that you didn't think about being interesting, maybe in fossils that you see walking the trails around your neighborhood, and just learn, just continue to learn. And that's the big takeaway from the book is everything. You want to be a lifelong learner. I do, at least. And I think this book has helped me do that and hopefully will help other people as well.
Excellent. I love that. A lifelong learner. That's an alliteration, but we can use it all the time. Lifelong learner.
Yes.
Let's be a lifelong learner. Well, again, Laura Carter and Anna Doherty have brought us A STEMinist Force, A Celebration of Women in STEM, which will be available wherever books are sold early spring 2024. Now, Laura, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Now, where can our guests find you online?
Right now, you can find me on Facebook or you can find me on Instagram. I have a Twitter account or an X account, I guess, but it's not super active anymore. So Instagram's probably the best place to find me, LW Carter Wright or LWC Wright.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, as we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familius Publishing for their support and bringing this podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review on iTunes and social media. And when you're ready for that next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you chose a book from us. Now, one learner at a time, one step at a time, we can make the world a happier place.